here. So I've got a question I want to ask you. Okay, we've been in the middle of a series on Sundays called "Tis the Season," and tonight I just have a few thoughts as we finish up. We're talking about a season of discovery because Humphrey Wright discovered something at the end of his journey that he didn't expect. Right? He thought he was a big deal or should be a big deal, but he met the biggest deal of all. But okay. Question. Have you guys ever done a scavenger hunt on Christmas for your kids or as a kid? Did you ever do scavenger hunts? Seriously, what's happening up here in South Dakota? That's like the best thing ever. No. When you've got a gift that's too big to wrap, kids, like a bicycle or something like that, okay? And your parents put it in the garage or the attic or in the closet and you've got clue. Seriously, nobody's done that? Oh my! Well, I know that's part of it too, but that's beside the point. I mean, I've really got to pray for you people. You guys are missing out. My mom did that for us. It's one of our boys' favorite things when we lead them through the house to the clues or where we hide something because it's just too big to unwrap, right? And so, parents, you got to try it. All right, you do it. And so, but it's a lot of fun because as a kid, you know, if I asked for a big thing, I knew that it was probably going to be a scavenger hunt, and maybe I did try to find it ahead of time. Maybe I had luck. Like my bike in the attic that I sat on for 2 weeks before Christmas. Maybe I didn't find it before. I think I told you guys that story last year. But sometimes maybe it's a surprise that we didn't expect. Like, oh, I never expected that. And so whether we know what we're finding or we don't know what we're finding, scavenger hunt, man, that was the best part of Christmas for me. But it's sort of like Humphrey. He didn't know what he was going to find, okay? Thought it was about him, and they realized that it wasn't. Okay, so this morning we're going to look at the story of the wise men, better translated, the Magi. Okay, and if you grew up in church, you're familiar with this. This takes place in Matthew, which is one of the biographies of Jesus, in the second chapter. We're only going to read a few verses. Okay, we're going to tell the story real quick, but we've already talked about several people involved in the story of Jesus. We've talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth. We talked about Mary and Joseph. We talked about the shepherds. Okay, now tonight is the Magi. Matthew chapter 2, it says in verse 1, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So here's these Magi. They were actually astrologers, okay? They thought they could look at the stars, maybe predict the future, discern other things happening in the world. They were actually practicing things which the Old Testament prohibited in Scripture. So these were pagans, okay? These were pagans. These were not Jewish people. They were Gentiles. They did not believe in the one true God of Scripture. But here we find them in the story of Jesus. And so they're traveling in this caravan, probably a larger caravan than is often made out in kids' stories or cartoons. Okay, this would have been a royal caravan. They were bringing gifts because it wasn't uncommon for Magi to come or other royalty to honor a newborn king, to honor someone else born into royalty. And so they're on their journey with Humphrey. Okay, that might not be scripture, but it's close. Okay, so they're on their way and they find themselves to Bethlehem as they're following the star. Okay, we don't know exactly how it happened, but if God can send lightning from the sky, if he can lead children of Israel with a pillar of fire, pillar of smoke, he can take care of signaling with a star. Okay, you guys got your heads wrapped around that? Thank you. See, this will be quicker if you agree with me. Yeah, that's good. And so, whether they were from Persia, whether they were from Arabia, okay, this royal caravan is traveling to Jerusalem. And because they suspected it was a Jewish king, they stopped in Jerusalem. Thank you. Yeah, that made sense to them. Hey, if it's going to be the next king of the Jews, we're going to stop in at Jerusalem. They talked to King fill in the blank. Let's fill in the blank. I know that's new. We don't usually do that. This is different. Yeah, King Herod. And if you were the king and you were insecure and you were in an unstable empire, how would you feel if somebody shows up and says, hey, we're looking for the next king? We hear a king's being born, right? You wouldn't take it well, right? And we know that Herod didn't take it well. And then he releases the Magi, but he wants them to tell him where the baby is because he had plans that were not so good for the new king. But the Magi follow this star to where Jesus was. This house, possibly even up to 2 years later, if you know the Christmas story, if you've studied it, this was not on the night of Christmas, but it's sort of part of the story, so we talk about them at the same time. Okay, would have taken them a couple years to get there. It says Mary and Joseph are in a house there in Bethlehem, and they present their gifts, and they bow down. We're gonna read it here in verse 11. It says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I told you that it wasn't unusual for men like this to honor another member of royalty, to honor a new king, to honor a baby born into a royal family. But Scripture says they came and they bowed down. They didn't just give him honor. It wasn't just even the gifts. But they bowed down and they worshiped him. And so we don't get a lot of detail here. This is one of these passages. I wish we had more detail in Scripture. But you have these pagan men, these astrologers, doing things that Scripture forbids. Yet out of this little story in Scripture, it's not the king in Jerusalem. It's not his experts of the law, the Jewish experts of the law that he consulted and said, hey, have you heard about a new king of the Jews being born? They said, yeah, actually, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah predicted it in chapter 5. Okay? They wouldn't have even had a chapter then. They just said Micah predicted it. But again, they did not respond to Jesus, this new king of the Jews being born. It was these unlikely pagan travelers coming to show honor that met this baby. The Scripture says they bowed down to worship him. And so I love that, because in Scripture, God somehow has a way to include the outsiders. He has a way to include this story for all people, because up until this point, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, were the only ones included in the promises of God. But with the coming of Jesus, the angel even said it to shepherds, it'll be good news for all men, good news for all women, good news for everyone. And here we see these outsiders that were not Jewish included in this story. And maybe they found something at the end of their journeys that they didn't expect to find. Maybe they thought, hey, we do this all the time. Maybe they're kind of the welcome wagon from where they come from. But they miraculously followed this star. They bowed down and worshiped him. And so my question for you tonight, and even if you're watching this replay on the 26th, we're going to replay this on the 26th. So the question is, when we think about Christmas, have you found Jesus? Yeah, we read a story of the kids. Humphrey found Jesus at the end of the line and realized there was somebody more important than himself. And so as we look at this Christmas Eve, have you found Jesus? Have you responded to him? And maybe you're doubting, maybe you don't believe. I would hate for you to celebrate Christmas if you have not found Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So tonight, we're going to pray a prayer in just a minute. And I'm going to encourage you to pray it with me. But you know, there was a great man in the Bible who found something he didn't expect. His name was the Apostle Paul. In fact, he was a persecutor of the early church. He had people killed. He was a bad dude. Yet he thought he was serving the one true God. And as he's riding on this road to Damascus, he was confronted with the one true God. And in that moment, Paul realized, like, man, I've got to change my loyalties. I thought I was serving God, but I wasn't. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, Jesus. But he writes a couple verses in a letter to Roman believers. He says, what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Listen, church, maybe you've said yes to Jesus. Maybe you found him. Maybe you've said yes to him. Maybe you surrendered your life to him. But I suspect, even if you have, you've got people in your life that have not. But if you're here, or maybe you're watching later, listen, there is evidence for God all around if your heart is open to the truth, if your heart is open to the Lord. Okay, this made-up story about Humphrey, okay? A camel that found Jesus, wasn't looking for him. But there's true stories in Scripture of people that found the Lord in a surprising way. The Apostle Paul is one of them. But there is evidence all around if you look. And so my prayer is that if you have not already found Jesus, that you would be committed to seeking the truth. Because most people that doubt have not fully investigated their unbelief. They believe because they want to believe, or they disbelieve because they want to not believe. And so I'm going to encourage you this morning, if you've not said yes to Jesus, you need to be insecure in your unbelief, because answers are out there, evidence is out there, if you're looking, if you're open. So my prayer is for you, or those that you love, would be open to Jesus. And if you're here tonight, we're going to get ready to take communion. If you're here tonight and say, you know what, I have not given my life to Jesus, listen, tonight is a great night to do that. And so I'm going to ask all of you to stand, right? And I want to say a prayer before we enter into a time of communion. And I just want to, listen, if you've already said yes to Jesus, we're going to say yes to Him one more time, okay? But I want to lead us in a prayer. This is a prayer of commitment, all right? And then we're going to worship the Lord in communion. But let's say Jesus, and even if you already have, let's do it again, okay? And so if you're here, this is a perfect time to respond to Him if you recognize your need for Him in your life tonight, okay? So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray after me, okay? Dear Jesus, we love You. Thank You for coming as a baby. Thank You for dying as a man. I recognize my need for You. I turn from my sin. I turn from my rebellion. And I commit my entire life to You. My hopes, my dreams, my desires, my identity, they are Yours. I give my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen.